Tonight, Survivor Know-It-Alls at the Survivor Merge is sponsored by our friends over at Skillshare. Skillshare is the online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, design, technology, and more. They've got what it takes to be the knowingest know-it-all in social media, data science, mobile photography, creative writing, you name it, they've got it, and they've got a great offer for our listeners. You can get on Skillshare.com with the link Skillshare.com/Rob to get 2 months of unlimited courses on Skillshare for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/Rob and get 2 months of educational training in 20,000 classes at Skillshare.com/Rob for 99 cents.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down.
Actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Chacho?
Yes, that is right. Stephen Fishback, here we are. It's the Survivor Merge, baby.
Yo, the Survivor Merge is always the best episode of the season, or usually the best episode of the season. I was a little bit worried at the start of this one.
Why?
And, not worried at the start. So I worried at the end, because it looked like it was going to be a down-the-line vote for Elizabeth. And then Angelina comes in, blows it all up, gives us some amazing television, and this episode delivered.
Yeah, yeah, and I was really fooled. I thought, all right,
oh, yeah,
here we go. Angelina, this is a classic tribal council meltdown. Angelina is going home. But now I'm thinking something very different actually happened. Looking forward to diving into it here with you tonight here live on Survivor Know-It-Alls. It's been for first time in a couple of weeks that we are live with our streaming audience here on robhaswebsite.com. And of course, if you are listening to the podcast and you don't know that you can join us live, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time is how you do that. We got a great crowd chatting along with us, sending in their questions live. Stephen Fishback is just fresh off of being on the Survivor Instagram takeover tonight.
Well, it was a lot of pressure because, you know, I've seen Tyson do it. I saw Abby do it. And they're at like parties and all of their like reality friends are like hanging out. I just watched the show alone in front of my computer. So, you know, I'm on CBS All Access. So, I'm just talking into my phone. So I felt like I actually emailed them in advance and I was like, just so you know, this is going to be a little bit more boring than typical. And they were okay with that. So there it was.
Yeah. I've only seen rave reviews online, Stephen.
Oh, that's so nice. I can only see a rave review. I no longer have the brain. Yeah. I have the cognitive dissonance. I no longer see things that are
words,
negative.
You have them blacklisted on Twitter.
Exactly.
Muted, yeah.
Crying, gastrointestinal distress, no votes, like all blocked.
A long list. All right. Yeah. So much to get into. We've got a great week of podcasts coming up for you guys. We are going to have our exit interview. I'm looking forward to talking with Elizabeth. I thought she was a very fun character. Always very excitable. Was she the greatest Survivor player? I mean, probably not. But she stayed true to who she was the whole way through, Stephen.
And she had like a great, you know, she had a great first episode, right?
And a great last episode.
Great last episode. I mean, she was, you know, a big part of convincing Alec to flip, right? I mean, she played hard, and I thought she had a great run. You know, she was a big character. She made some great moves along the way. Didn't really seem like she did anything wrong this week, except like she just didn't have any friends, and Carl really didn't like her.
Yeah. All right. So a lot of stuff to talk through with Elizabeth, and then Kellen Bechtold will be on the recap podcast, and then the great the Mayo of Slamtown, Nick Majorana, will be here with me in the studio for this week's Survivor Feedback Show. So get your questions in, and then I'll talk to Josh Wiggler on the Wiggle Room. And just we were recording that as a programming note one day early, so get all your wand off stuff in by Sunday this week, Stephen. So okay, so this was I thought such a exciting finish to this episode, and so I am wondering here, how much was the plan to flip the vote back onto Angelina? How much was that really on the table tonight?
You mean back onto Elizabeth or back onto Angelina?
Back onto Angelina. To you know, basically what we saw at Tribal Council about how it looked like things were really falling apart for Angelina, that it looked like that the Davids were on board to turn things around. All they needed was one Goliath to jump on and vote with them here to switch things around. How much do you think that that was a possibility?
Zero.
I agree. Yeah. I think that this was theater.
Yeah, I think that they were probably all concerned about this behavior from Angelina. I think, you know, Allison correctly called it out. I mean, we should discuss what we think Angelina's motivations were in that moment with Elizabeth. I'm sure they were more complex than any one simple thing. You know, Allison immediately called her out for jury grubbing. It's, you know, I would be upset if one of my alliance members went and told the person who's getting voted off that they were about to get voted off. Like, that's as bad a thing as you can do on Survivor. You know, like, it gives, you know, if she has access to an idol and knows that it's her, you know, it gives her an opportunity to blow up the game, you know, and potentially scuttle your whole alliance's plans. So I think they were justifiably upset, and I'm sure there will be, you know, an interesting hell to pay next week, but I don't think there was any chance that the vote was switching tonight. And you even saw that alliance of six that also included
Strike Force,
Nick, Christian, and Gabby. Is that the official name, Strike Force?
As per Christian Hubicki in the episode, Strike Force is what they're calling that group of six.
If a nickname doesn't come from Nick, I don't believe that it's real.
Okay, well, maybe Nick will confirm Strike Force in an upcoming episode.
Yeah. They wanted to vote off Elizabeth first. They wanted to vote off a David. And I actually think we should talk about whether that's a good idea, because in the episode, it was like, yeah, that's a great idea. You should vote off a David first, you know, keep the Goliaths on their, you know, feeling relaxed. But, you know, then you look back at, you know, Navidi and Malola last season, and those little edges, you know, you look at the situation that Donathan and Laurel were in, right, where they thought that they were part of this group that was going to bounce back and forth between the two sides. And it really only bounced one way.
Yeah. So many different parts of this to talk about. This is going to be a lot of fun to dig into everything, because Stephen, I really feel like that there was like two different things going on, where there was the group of Goliaths, which felt like, okay, we have the seven, we're calling the shots on this vote, we're going to ultimately decide, we just have to pick which one of the Davids to go out. And then we had this second group, which was formed, which only three of the Goliaths knew about and three of the Davids, where the Strike Force came together. And they said, okay, then, well, let's maybe sacrifice a David or two here, and then we'll come together, we'll make our move at 11, and maybe let two Davids go, and then when we get it down to 11, we will actually have the majority, and then we'll start taking out the big targets. And so it's interesting to see that, yes, Elizabeth went home, but it was a night where the interests of both of these factions sort of mutually aligned to land on Elizabeth.
Well, I really am curious if this is the correct move for Strike Force. Now, it's certainly what Strike Force agrees on, what they all seem to think is the correct move for them. But again, like, looking back to last season, you know, we saw, right, you had that group with Wendell and Dominic and, you know, and then Laurel and Donathan, and they were, Wendell and Dominic had all the leverage because they were a part of both groups, and they weren't beholden to Laurel and Donathan in the same way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is actually something I'm really looking forward to getting into with Kellen, because I think that when we have sort of like these big votes at this point, like, this is bad for somebody. This was, you know, everybody was on board, you know, 12 votes coming in for Elizabeth, but for a big group of people, like, this was the wrong decision tonight to get rid of Elizabeth. And we'll find out as the merge goes forward who made the mistake by getting rid of Elizabeth.
Well, and I think that if you are looking from the Goliath majority's perspective, right, Christian is definitely the better vote, right than Elizabeth. Like Elizabeth is, well, she was certainly competitive in the immunity challenge, but she really has no allies. You know, Carl hates her. Presumably Davey doesn't like her that mm-hmm. much. Keeping her around as opposed to Christian, you know, is a much better move for like the Goliaths as like one monolithic alliance, like not counting, you know, not thinking of individuals there. So Angelina was entirely right. I thought that if you did want to move forward as the Goliath group, which she thought that they did, that Christian was the right guy to get rid of.
I thought this was a night where she had absolutely the right idea and absolutely the incorrect execution of how to accomplish that. Because I think that really the fundamental thing that she did wrong, it seemed like, again, we have to use that because we don't know everything that happens, but it seemed like the first time that the notion of we should vote out Christian came up in that meeting of the seven Goliaths. And it turned out to be like she really did force her will in that meeting. And I think that that is the type of sensitive thing where when you're getting into sort of group decision making, that I think that that is the type of change in direction that needs to be really sussed out in sort of one-on-ones, where if you are sort of leading a company or a group or a club or a group of friends that you have plans, and all of a sudden that you're the one person that says, hey, I think we should go bowling instead of mini golf, and you just blurt it out to everybody when you're not around, then boy, you know, Rob, what a jerk. I can't believe it. What does he think he is? He's the boss of us, that he's changing things around. What an a-hole. And no, you need to plant those seeds before you have that group conversation.
I'm not sure. I mean, I definitely agree with you that she went about it wrong. I'm not sure that I agree with you that the right move here is necessarily like doing all the walks down the beach. You know, especially because there is a limited number of time at the merge. There's just so many people. This isn't like a blindside, right? She's not turning on one of her own. And I think, you know, what happens typically is like, just because there are so many people, you know, at this moment, like 13 is just, that's a lot of people, as we know, 144 relationships. Sometimes what happens is like the big group gets together and they kind of like talk through it, and like someone says one person and here's why I think that person, and someone says someone else and here's why I think that person. I think what Angelina did wrong was she, as you said, she was a very forceful, and you know, you could see everyone else's body language in that moment. They're like, they're not looking at her. They're shuffling her feet. They're looking down. You know, I think just in the fact that she kept on beating this drum, even as the rest of her tribe was like not into it, I think that was where the danger lay. And you compare that to someone like Alec, you know, who later on is like, yeah, I'm up for anything, but Elizabeth scares me. You know, she's just so scary and she's so erratic. She kind of, and he sort of like, he plants the seed and he lets it do its work. So I think like it might logistically not be possible to get a big consensus group decision together with one-on-ones, but I do think there's a way to handle that big group conversation more delicately.
I just think that she should have had that meeting with at least one of the other lieutenants. And I do think that she is, you know, the instinct was right. I think that she is, you know, has a good feel for who the threats are in the game and who needs to be removed. But I think that she should have, you know, either pulled John aside before that meeting and like, hey, if I bring up going with Christian, will you have my back in this group setting? And it seemed like that she was the only person that wanted to do that. And then I think created animosity between some of her allies there, where Dan is like, hey, when we saw Dan get super paranoid in this episode of like, hey, somebody said my name. I have to go after them. They said my name.
Yeah. And credit to Alec for that, too. Yes. Right. Like Alec is the one who kind of made him that paranoid. You know, Alec just had like such a stellar episode. You know, first, we, you know, well, certainly with you know, creating that alliance of six, the strike force. Then when, you know, I thought, when the name did flip back to Christian and he kind of like laid the groundwork. And then when he, you know, kind of worked Dan up like that, that was genius too.
I have to give you credit for that, because I wasn't thinking along those lines. And then I watched your Instagram and you were talking about what a great job that Alec did. And I think that you're right, where he did throw Elizabeth's name out there, which I thought was a mistake at first, because Elizabeth was somebody who had his back, but he threw out Elizabeth's name, got Dan all wound up, and then he was like inconsolable, where then all he wanted to do was go after Elizabeth once the, he heard her name come out. And then it provided the perfect cover for what this group of six was going to do. And then so then the plot really thickens when Angelina goes and has that conversation with Elizabeth. Stephen, what was going on there?
That is the question. And that's such an interesting question. I mean, you know, and I loved when Angelina Tribal Council was like, her facts are different from my facts. It was such a, like the alternative facts is alive and well here in Survivor. I at first, like when I was saw that, like my jaw dropped, you know, Angelina beckons Elizabeth over, says, I've got to talk to you. It's you tonight. My first thought was like, oh, she's totally jury grubbing, right? She's totally trying to get Elizabeth's jury vote. I also thought maybe she was acting out, that she was mad at her alliance and therefore was kind of going to sabotage it. I was talking with a friend of mine during the episode, and she was saying this was a human moment. This was a sincere moment between these two people. And I was like, maybe it is. And that's how Angelina spun it too. And I bet there's gotta be some of that. What do you think, Rob?
I'm not buying that it was a human moment. I mean, Angelina and Elizabeth have no relationship whatsoever, that they have just met each other. They haven't been on the same tribe at all. So it's not like, okay, this was Nick who she had been with since after the swap. And they're like, hey, Nick, I just want to let you know we've gotten close over the last week or so, and I just need to know, let you know that it was you. It felt to me like she was acting out. I mean, I wasn't even thinking that she was pandering for a jury vote until it came up at tribal council, but I think that that's also a potential motive. I don't have a good reason other than I thought that maybe she was trying to get the vote turned around and have Elizabeth and the Davids put their votes on Dan. I thought, but she didn't throw his name out there. So I don't have a good reason for why Angelina was doing what she was doing. But
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the jury vote thing is the most, but she seemed legitimately upset
here.
Yeah, but like her level of upsetness in that moment and like then immediately leading to her. I mean, you know, again, it's like we see it in like little scenes. So like we're drawing the connections, whereas there was probably a zillion things going on in Angelina's head in that moment.
Now, okay, I want to go back to the Davids and how they played this. And the person that I ended up being really taken away, and this, tell me if you think, Stephen, this could may well be some fan fiction. And if I could find that clip for you, I would play it. But Stephen, I was very impressed with
Davey.
Who you think? Who am I going to say?
Davey.
Gabby. Dave, what did Davey do?
Joking. Davey was not in the episode at all.
I think that maybe Gabby was really good in this episode.
Oh, I thought she was fantastic. I thought she had a fantastic night.
And I think that Gabby really threw Elizabeth out there just to, you know, see what would happen. You know, Elizabeth came back and I think that Gabby wound her all up. And I think that maybe Gabby had no intention whatsoever of ever being on board with this plan that Elizabeth was going through with.
That's my take too. That's exactly what I thought. It's like, oh yeah, let's blow it up at tribal council. Like it's perfect for Gabby because, you know, it makes, you know, Elizabeth is still going to go home. Like the plan is not realistically going to change at tribal council. Mm-hmm. And then it creates a perfect next target down the line. I thought I thought the exact same thing, you know, and I mean, that's how you get someone's jury vote is you really seem like you're on their side. You seem like you're fighting for them, and you're not.
All right, let's see how much we're on the same page. Okay, do you think that Gabby was fake crying at tribal council?
I don't think at this point we can accuse Gabby of ever fake crying.
But if we're saying that she threw Elizabeth under the bus, I mean, Gabby, here's what I think. And tell me that this maybe if you think I'm really crazy and you want to come after me, please let me know on Twitter at pineappleboy27 is my Twitter handle. Steven, I think that every other time we've seen Gabby upset this season, it's been in private. I don't think that we've seen her have an outburst in front of the group. And here she was tonight. And there were real tears because she was white. She was wiping her face. There were real tears. But can she cry on cue is my question, because she was going after, you know, Angelina, what do you expect us to do? Just sit here on the bottom and take it while don't blame Elizabeth for fighting for her life in this game. And you can't. And I wonder, was this a performance, Stephen? Because ultimately, you know, Gabby's got the strike force. She's in this new alliance of six, and she knows that they're sacrificing a David potentially. And she also knows that she's going to vote for Elizabeth at this tribal council.
I mean, I think, like, you know, if everyone was an entirely rational actor all the time, then yes, like, Gabby's in a safe spot. She knows she's safe. She knows Elizabeth is the target. Like, why are you crying, Gabby? But, like, being, you know, because we're all human beings, and especially on Survivor, you're just like, you know, it really takes an emotional toll on you. And you see Gabby all episode being like, I'm so sick of watching these Goliaths just parade up and down the beach, and like, they're in charge of everything. And I've been in that position where, like, you just like see the cocky group like strutting around, and you're like, you guys are so sure of yourself. This is a game where every person matters, and like, look at you acting like you run it and we're just your pawns. And Gabby's been in that spot for so long, right? I mean, just for days and days. And here she is again in this like big group of big people is just strutting up and down the beach. And I think it just got to her. And I think she just sort of, at some point, she was like, this is, you know, you can't just treat us like this.
Yeah. I don't know, because it seemed like if the original plan was to get rid of Elizabeth, the thing that does sell it the most would be for the Davids to be upset about this. And
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So my next question is, was this a mistake for the Davids to vote out Elizabeth? Should the Davids have joined Elizabeth and cast their votes against Angelina if the strike force is really going to? Now, Carl, he's not in on it. Carl could really vote, you know, that he was in on voting for Elizabeth the whole way. But should Christian and Nick and Gabby have voted for, I mean, and maybe it's harder for Nick because he's been allies with Angelina, but at least for Gabby, who's carrying on at the tribal council, does it blow her cover to vote for Elizabeth?
No, I think it would be disastrous for her to not vote for Elizabeth, right? Like, it's so important. You've got this new secret alliance. You vote against them in the first vote. I think that would like
not
that
voting
would...
a vote with, but they're in on it. Where, you know, in sort of, and with, and I know you don't watch the Big Brother, but a lot of times on Big Brother, the house votes. You know, okay, the house decided, and nobody wants to be the one person. You know, that they know it's a losing vote, so that everybody votes by a vote of, you know, 13-1 or 13-0. This person is voted out. So maybe it's where they knew it was a losing cause. But if they're trying to sell that the Davids are, you know, in this hopeless cause against the Goliaths, you know, why not put their votes on the Goliath that Elizabeth was trying to get them to vote for? Wouldn't that help obfuscate what they're doing even more?
I guess so. I mean, I think that's a little bit too fancy. I think, like, you know, I think you want you know, it's easy. Like, again, like, it's easy to say we're an alliance until you vote together. You're not really an alliance. If I were the strike force, the Goliaths, I would be like, we need to show that we're working together. Like, you know, as soon as like three votes are going this way, then you're like, well, are three votes going another way? Like, you never really know. I mean, that it's going to be a whole group decision until the votes actually come down. So to me, like, I would always want to do the safer thing that ensured the person I wanted to go home was going to go home, rather than add a huge element of randomness with three votes on another person. You know, that's going to infuriate that person. I don't want to be the one putting that vote on Angelina. Like, she's not going to be happy about that. You know, just for the same reason that I thought it was a mistake for Angelina to vote for Lursa, I think it's a mistake for Gabby to vote for Angelina.
Okay. Stephen, who is the next person to go home in this season?
Oh, my God. I mean, it sure looks like Angelina, but I don't think it's going to be. You know, I think she's going to claw her way out of this. It's a really good question. I mean, you know, it probably is someone like Carl, right? Or Davey, who's like kind of out of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carl or Davey, I think if we're going to follow this plan of, okay, if we're going to sacrifice another David for the sake of getting the numbers down to 11 so that this strike force can then make their move, it does seem like Davey or Carl would be the most likely people to go home in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really get a sense. Like, they have relationships too, right? Like, Carl and Davey have their bonds and their allies in this group. So, you know, we don't really have a sense of what they're working at yet. So it's hard to say for sure, you know, what levers they're pulling.
At that tribal council, Stephen, we saw Dan and Alec get up and have a conversation. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering that too. I think they were just being like,
this
probably
is
part of it was theater.
Alec, that he's yeah. that he's, you know, had these side conversations during the tribal council.
Yeah, he just like gets a kick out of it to a certain degree. He's like, you know, like all eyes on me. He's clearly got a flair for the theatrical, right? With some of those confessionals, that people are going to be broken and tears are going to be
and the pre-party.
Flowing.
This is the after party where you could start talking to the girls and broing down.
Yeah, exactly. I think they were probably just reaffirming, like, still Elizabeth, right? Yeah, still Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we be giving Carl any credit, Stephen, in terms of how this night ultimately went? Because the first person in the episode that we see, we have to get rid of Elizabeth, is Carl. He comes into the merge feast that we had last week. She really upset him when she wanted to change up the bed. That really bothered Carl. He hates know-it-alls, and he hates people that try to change up the bed. He really did not care for his fellow cowboy hat-wearing David.
I absolutely think you need to give Carl credit for this. You know, nobody's like people's name comes up more, like the more they come up. I mean, that sounds a little bit like confusing, but you know, like the more someone says someone's name, the more likely that person is going to be a target just because like their name's in the air. So I think, you know, Carl being, you know, putting her name out there, you know, probably no one kind of like coming to her rescue in that, you know, and saying like, absolutely not, let's do this other person. You know, she probably seemed like an easy consensus, right? The bond she had among the Goliaths that we were familiar with were Kara and Alec. Alec didn't seem, you know, like mm-hmm. he was going to defend her, and neither did Kara. So, yeah, I think actually Carl might have, like, if Carl had been like, we got to get rid of, I don't know, Gabby, like maybe it would have been Gabby who had gone, because you just don't know. I mean, you know, like if no one's going to put their neck out for you, and then now, you know, your name is floating around, people are like, yeah, sure, why not her?
Yeah, I think that Carl was probably happy with the result, but I think that, you know, as we're talking about who's the next most likely person to go home, that it very well could be Carl. I do think it was a short-sighted move on his part to sacrifice Elizabeth so quickly to the Goliaths.
Well, what do you think that Carl should have, like, made a play, or like, what are you saying that he should have been doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't really see, and we didn't see a lot of what Carl was up to in this episode. And maybe he felt like, okay, well, if I, you know, really tell Angelina what's going on, and I, you know, hang out with Dan after I have a couple of beers, maybe I'm going to be seen as somebody that the Goliaths, you know, want to take along with me. But it doesn't really seem like he has a you know, some other solid option of if he's, you know, surrendering numbers of the Davids, it seems like his number is coming up sooner than later. No?
Yeah, I guess, but maybe he feels like it's going to be a David tonight, and I'd rather it with this person who I really dislike mm-hmm. and have no desire to
anybody
work with.
But
you know?
Me, I guess. But
and yeah, and a certain degree, like, you know, you're somewhat limited on Survivor, right? But you have to sort of get along with the people in your alliance, you know, Kasaya 6 notwithstanding. But for the most part, you need to like get along with the people who you're working with. And that's sort of the foundation of most of the best alliances, is people just sort of connecting with each other. And so it's unlikely Carl's going to work with Elizabeth. And if he assumes it's going to be a David who's next, like, why not get rid of her?
Stephen, I also feel like tonight was a coming out party of sorts for Dr. Allison. I feel like she was really all over this episode. And that's why, you know, people like are really, they can't wait to jump on the, you know,
the purple
blank. Oh, purple. Like after two or three episodes. And really, I think Allison was in almost every single strategic conversation that we saw in the episode, seemingly. And then she goes on and she wins the individual immunity, has a lot to say at tribal council. Thought this was really a breakout night for her.
Yeah, this was a huge night for her. You know, she kind of, we saw a little bit of her last week with her alliance with Gabby. And here she's in this new, yeah, you're right, that here she's in this new strike force. Mm-hmm. She's obviously in the Goliath 7. You know, she was in that foursome with her, Alec, Dan, and John, who were debating, you know, whether to keep it as Elizabeth or to switch it over to Christian. Like you said, she's been in every strategic conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She's really interesting because, you know, she is in the strike force, where she's somebody that, I mean, we didn't see, you know, have any reason to believe that her and Alec were especially close, but that seems
yeah,
to be.
Apparently they are.
You know,
yeah.
When he's saying like, okay, what are the other people to bring into this? Oh yeah, Alec and Mike, those are my, you know, key people from the Goliaths to bring over into this. And so we see her in the strike force, and then we, you know, she's part of the big Goliath conversation. She's part of the smaller Goliath conversation of, boy, Angelina is really out of control. control. And then she's part of the conversation with Angelina and John, talking about how, boy, Dan is a real, who does he think he is, you know, bossing me around. Angelina's saying, I don't even feel safe in my own home anymore.
Yeah. And she's sort of like, what's great is that she's a part of every conversation, but she's not dominating any of them. And I think that's a really good role to be in, like right now at this position in the game. It's also why I really like John. You know, I think like John is doing an amazing job. You know, I mean, Dan even says, how is John not a target? You know, where he's like, so it's indignant. Like the mayor. Yeah, he had to be the biggest target coming in. You know, I think probably any person would have been like, just reading the cast list, you're like, guess who's the merge boot? He wasn't even in the conversation about being the merge boot. He didn't have a great challenge performance, but he also like he didn't have a particularly bad one. You know, he didn't lose momentum. He just stepped off the block. And you know what I think he does so well is you just see him like similar to Allison. You just see him like agreeing with everything. You know, are we voting for Elizabeth? Great, it's Elizabeth. Are we voting for Christian? Yep, it's Christian. Are we switching back to Elizabeth? Great, I'm on board with that. And then he's also the peacemaker. Like he's the one who goes and breaks it to Angelina. He's the one who kind of pulls her away from the group and been like, let's have a conversation about this. Let's talk about this down the beach. I think he and Allison, as you noted. So I think they're both doing a good job of that.
Yeah, both of them did a good job with the consensus building, you know, arriving to that decision, as opposed to what I didn't like that Angelina did of really, you know, trying to, you know, force her will on the group when the consensus had not been established.
Well, they weren't even consensus building. They were just like consensus agreeing. Like they were just part of the consensus. You know, I think what Alec did really well, for example, was like, you know, kind of lead a consensus. They were just like on board, which I also think is an interesting posture. You know, it's like it's such an interesting question. Like, how much do you want to be the person at this point who's making the plan? And how much do you like not want to be out in front? You know, how much do you want to like, I think there's a lot of virtue, and I'm giving Alec the fishy in being the person who like creates the big alliance, because that's like kind of a feather in your coach. No, a feather in your coach.
I get it.
Your look of disgust belied that.
It was more the thought of a feather on coach. I'd be
on
more,
coach. But,
we're getting into a feather in coach. I feel like that's an image that I don't want to visit.
I didn't mean to. Yeah, but I'm curious. Like, what do you think? Like, do you want to be the Alec here who's driving the alliance, or do you want to be the John or the Allison who's, you know, kind of like yesing the alliance?
I think I want to be more the person that's yesing the alliance. I feel like that the way that I would play Survivor, you know, is yes to everything, and then more behind the scenes than sort of trying to finesse the way it's going. Now for Alec, I think that he did a great job, that he put something together and there wasn't anybody that he picked for his group that said, boy, why am I in this alliance? I don't want to be with these guys. I don't want to be in an alliance with Alec. So he did a great job of picking the right people. So I have to give him credit for that. I don't know necessarily if that's a move that I make, but it doesn't mean that that's the, you know, what I do automatically. Last time I checked, I didn't have a $1 million check from Survivor. So what
isn't that literally the move you did make at the merge? Like with like Dina, like you like guys went and you like created the new power group.
Yeah, but I had a couple of, you know, I was had something with Dina and something with Jenna and something with Alex. It was just so happened that, you know, I had a lot of people that were together. And then, you know, in the after a numerous amount of one-on-ones, then we'll bring the thing together.
Well, that's what Alec did, right? We see him first talking to Christian. We see him first talking to Gabby. We see him first talking to Allison and Mike. I mean, I think that Alec did do that groundwork. He
I'm
did
not
sort
saying
of
what he did
ones.
Was bad. I thought it was good. But if you asked which one is me, I'm just saying that probably is not exactly me.
I think it was pretty close.
So basically you're saying me and Alec are the same person.
That's exactly what I am saying. F it.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you the Alex salute. All right, Stephen, while you're talking about the fishy, let me just also say this, show you guys this, that I got.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go on show you guys me, that I got this in the mail the other day, and I said, what the hell is this from you know, ABC Trophy Company that's coming in the mail? I don't know if you guys can see this, and I got a two Rob Cesternino on his 40th 20th birthday, the ultimate fishy with love and friendship, Steven. So I would thank you, Steven, for my first ever fishy.
Well, what do you give the guy who has some things? You give him a really tacky statue. I looked for a classy statue. I looked for one that like looked really nice and classy, and I literally could not. You have no idea how many hours I spent Googling like fish statuette. I came up with nothing. So I instead went with that like really terrible, hideous like thing that looks like it's a high school trophy. But it's a trophy to you from me, and a token of my esteem for your, you know, your brilliant strategic analysis and friendship.
So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will add it to the mantle behind me, Stephen. Thank you very much. Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
I made the mantle. Yeah.
We're going to get into your questions here tonight. Hashtag RHAP, Scott St. Pierre has been collecting them all night long. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Skillshare. Skillshare, new sponsor to the podcast. And Skillshare is a platform with over 20,000 classes in business, design, technology, and more. Classes in all sorts of things, but they really specialize in things like social media and all sorts of creative endeavors. Now, Steven, you were the person that took over the Survivor Instagram account tonight. Do you know that you could take classes online in how to be even better on Instagram?
Oh, I could have used those. I'm getting a lot of tweets about how, like, I said the word man too much. I needed some classes.
Yeah, well, with Skillshare, it works. It's like a Netflix or a Spotify where with just a membership, you can take as many classes as you want. I know, Stephen, that one of your pursuits has been a lifelong quest for learning. That's why I think that Skillshare would be great for somebody, an intellectual like you.
Wow. With that many classes, you're going to find something, you know, I love to like pursue learning now, you know, because you can do it as an adult. There's no stress of being in school. You're like, what do I actually want to learn how to do? Like, what am I interested in? What am I passionate about? Oh, I can go learn it. And it's like, it's a totally different experience than like being in class and being like, oh, well, like I've got to, like, I'm forced to do this.
You're learning about things that you want to know how to do as opposed to things that you have to learn how to do. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, start a side hustle, or explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for our listeners. Go to Skillshare.com/Rob and get 2 months of Skillshare for 99 cents, Steven. You're not going to get a better deal than that. Skillshare is giving the Rob is a Podcast listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. That's at Skillshare.com/Rob to start your 2 months at Skillshare.com/Rob. Okay, Steven, let's get into the questions. No questions on how to win Survivor, unfortunately.
Well, we certainly wouldn't be the ones to write those. So we could read them. We could read those.
Yeah. Well, we could take them. We could take them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some of our questions, Stephen. And then, earlier tonight, Pineapple Boy 27, my account for all
it's
of
real.
All of my negative feedback, please.
There is a Pineapple Boy 27.
Yes. The complaints about the idols and advantages and the overabundance in previous seasons, are you glad the merge feast did not include a new one on top of the four already in the game?
So what are the four already in the game?
Well,
Dan has two.
Steven, I'm so glad that my presence on Twitter reminded me of this. Steven, what was this that Gabby was like, oh, merge feast. Oh, no, I know there must be something up that says everything you need here for the merge is right here. Close up of the sign. Was this a red herring or did the survivors miss a clue?
It's a really good question. I thought it was played perfectly because we don't know.
We have no idea.
I thought that like Gabby's point of like, I don't know if this is real or if this is just survivor paranoia. Like, it's so true. Like every reward you're like, is that a clue? Is that a clue? Is that a clue or is that a chicken? Is that a chicken breast? Is that a clue? But then like the camera kept lingering on that sign. Like it was so hard to tell.
It lingered, right? It was definitely
it lingered.
Yeah. It's like if you're in an escape room, it's like, I know this is something, you know, but I don't know what this is. And the show really like zoomed in on it. I don't know if they were just very proud of that logo that they designed for the Merge Feast sign, but it definitely feels like the survivors missed something. But we usually get like, you know, sort of like the flashing that you know, they missed it. But I'm stumped.
Well, which is great, right? Like either way, it's great. Like it raises the question and maybe it pays off or maybe it's just paranoia. And like, that's what it's like being on Survivor. Like, is it a thing? I don't know if it's a thing. Like, how can I find out if it's a thing? When do I get to see? Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a secret constant scene or something that'll explain that.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven, what does Paige have to say?
All right. Paige wants to know, so did we just miss a whole conversation about the Davids inevitably voting for Elizabeth too? Slightly confused.
Yeah. Well, look, we all missed a conversation, but, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, making an exciting show, making a dramatic tribal council, and then, you know, completely tipping the hand of what's going to happen.
And they did show Gabby talking to Carl, being like, hey, we're just pretending to be like, you know, totally powerless. And so there was enough there that you could understand what happened. And obviously, we knew Carl didn't like Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like Davey didn't seem to love Elizabeth. Look, so
and that's where Steven and I come in. And then we try to make sense of it all. And then the survivors, you know, go on Twitter. And then we have to like sort of read the subtext of what they're trying to tell us actually happened. And then
terrible.
Sometimes they just, you know, plainly say what happened. And then that's how we know.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Steven, Matt wants to know, Angelina made the same exact mistake that Laura Boneham did in Blood vs. Water. Don't let your target know ahead of time they're being voted out. What specifically did Angelina do to survive tribal that Laura B did not? Okay. Well,
was that Vetus?
Yes, Vetus. Vetus wants to know. Yes.
No. Was it Vetus who she let know? I don't remember that.
So in Survivor Blood versus Water is the last vote before the swap, I think. And she had said to Vetus, well, Vetus, you know, yeah, it was really great, Vetus, you know, playing with you. And everybody's like, what? Did Laura B just do that? But it's debatable whether or not, you know, the episode made it seem like Vetus turned it around. You know, it's debatable whether or not it was a 50-50 ball or what prior to that. But Steven, you know, there's a, you know, in Game of Thrones, the Lady Melisandre talks about how, you know, you can't, if you let the sheep or something see the blade, it spoils the meat, you know, blind sides are the way to go. I believe that's even one of David Bloomberg's rules. You know, you gotta keep up the blind side.
Yeah. Well, the one thing, I mean, I you know, there's obviously a lot of situational differences between any two examples, but I think one of the biggest differences between those two situations was that Elizabeth didn't say anything until tribal council. And it's very unlikely that a vote is going to change at tribal council. I mean, sometimes it happens. Obviously, there's been some big, big, spectacular vote changes in the last couple of years at tribal. For the most part, you know, you've got to tell people beforehand, give them a chance to scramble, you know, and people actually like to scramble. You know, there's something, you know, there is that element where it's like a musical chairs or, you know, whoever the last, maybe that's the wrong metaphor, but like, you know, the thing keeps spinning and whoever it settles on last is the person who's gone. And it's like not, there may not even be any inherent logic to that more than just like, oh, you were the last person we were talking about. So, you know, being the coming in at the last minute with this like dark horse idea, oh my God, Angelina's scheming, let's get her out. Like that could have actually worked if it had happened before tribal council. At tribal, it was not going to happen.
Right. Where hypothetically, if Elizabeth had gone to Dan prior to the vote and said, hey, Dan, just to let you know, Angelina came and told me the plan. She said that I was going to be it. And then if he's like appalled by that, then he pulls the Goliaths in. Hey, maybe we should just do Angelina tonight. But it was not the kind of thing that was probably going to flip at the tribal council.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like people love to scheme, like people love to strategize. Like that's why you're on Survivor. It's like makes the game fun. It passes the time. So if you give the people an opportunity to scheme, they will. But I don't think Elizabeth gave them that chance.
Okay. All right, Steve, what does Edric have to say?
Edric says, Adam still went on to win the game despite Taylor tarnishing his name with a food hoarding controversy. Does Angelina still have a shot of turning this around? Both were very similar with how they came up at Tribal.
I would say that I don't think that Angelina has a shot here, but not necessarily because of this. What do you think?
Well, why?
Okay. I think that the Survivor players that are the best, and not always, but I think that the Survivor players, what I want to see is someone who is a bit of a chameleon. And I think that Angelina and Elizabeth have something in common that I feel like that they are who they are. And, yeah. And I don't think that either one has been especially effective. And I don't know if Elizabeth even tried, but I think Angelina, I think, tries to put on airs that, you know, that she is, you know, being nice and sweet to people. And I don't think it has worked for her. And I think that the people that when we're talking about the, you know, the best players of this game, I think they're able to be a different person to the other players in the game and are able to take on, you know, the abilities of a, you know, a chameleon in the game. And I think that I don't see that from Angelina.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this specific incident would necessarily be something that would like ruin Angelina's chances. I think she's obviously a very strategic thinker. She's a strategic player. Yes. I do agree that she seems to have, it's almost like worse because there's more of a disconnect. Like she knows the type of thing she's supposed to say and like the way she's supposed to engage with people, but, isn't like, yeah, I agree. She's not great at, there's this tension between like the polished persona she knows she has to have and the sort of more genuine, vulnerable side of her that, you know, obviously comes out a lot. And, I agree. Like,
it was this moment did her in where I don't feel like that she had like, you know, this, you know, a 15% chance to win. And now tonight, after tonight, you know, she's, you know, I just feel like that she is too brash of a personality, I think, to be able to maneuver through this minefield that's going to be the post-merge game.
Yeah. But again, like, who knows? I mean, you know, it's like so much goes into who you're sitting, you know, it's almost like less about who you are than who you're sitting with. So, you know, if she gets to the end with two people who people really hate, then, you know, then she can take it all.
Like, I think with a 13 person merge, there needs to be a point where she's going to need to be able to blend into the scenery for a little bit that you can't have that much heat on you for to get from 13 to 3. I don't know if she's going to be able to do that at any point.
But people have decelerated though. I feel like recently someone really good just like went way like maybe Ben actually.
Well, I think is, you know, very extenuating circumstances where he found three idols and made a fire at 4. So, yeah, you know, if you could tell me that Angelina was, there's going to be a period where she's going to be immune for 4 straight votes. I think that's, you know, that's hiding in plain sight where, you know, that, okay, people want to get him out, but they can't, you know, I don't know if she's going to be able to do that.
I mean, Adam's a good parallel too, right? Like he wasn't the dominant player throughout the merge. You know, you had this sort of,
right there. And the whole thing happened with Will Wall where there were, you know, bigger fish to fry than Adam there. Yeah. He had heat on him, but then he was able to get back down under the radar for a little bit and sort of reemerge coming out of like the, you know, final 6. So there just needs to be a point. The merge is solo. Sarah Lucina did a great job in, you know, this super long post merge where you're able to, you know, hide for a bit.
Yeah, you do have to hide for a little bit in the game. All right, the Survivor guy wants to know, was this Survivor's first unanimous merge vote in 37 seasons? Interesting. I have no idea, Rob. That's more your field.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know exactly don't ask me off the top of my head. There's been some lopsided merge votes. I don't know what Haley ended up getting at the...
That was the one that I was thinking of too, but it probably wasn't unanimous.
Yeah. We'll fact check that one. Rob's fact checker or somebody will get on that one. Okay, Steven. What about Andrea?
Andrea wants to know, do you think Dan, Kara, Angelina, and John should and will be suspicious of the Elizabeth vote being unanimous? I would be thinking, why didn't the Davids all vote for one of the Goliaths?
Yes.
I don't agree. Well, so there was this narrative around Elizabeth that everyone kept repeating that we didn't really see a rationale for about how she, you know, Alex said she's so erratic. You know, then Dan was like, she's the chaotic one or something. Yes, we got to get rid of the chaos. Yeah. Right. Chaos is a ladder. the game of Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be this like sense throughout everybody that like she's the wild one. We got to get rid of her. And I think that that's a pretty unifying attack on anyone. And I think I've said this before, like the way that you should, you know, you should always position any vote, especially with a big group, is like, we got to get rid of the chaotic one. Like, let's get rid of the one who's causing drama around camp. And it's like, you know, it's a pretty effective argument. And I think I would imagine that to everyone there, this probably felt like we're all coming together to get rid of this person who's causing all this drama.
It's possible. Again, we don't know exactly everything that goes on at the camp, but I feel like if you were really going to sell that the Davids were sort of being blindsided, then, or the Davids were sort of powerless to stop the Goliaths, if you really wanted to lull them into a false sense of security, I think that voting against the Goliaths would be probably the better way to do this. But what we don't know is, like, does Angelina say to Nick, hey, make sure you vote for Elizabeth tonight? Does you know, John say to Gabby and to Christian, hey, make sure you vote for Elizabeth tonight so I can keep you guys safe? So, you know, did word spread from the Goliaths to the Davids to make sure that it wasn't going to be a close vote?
Yeah, and nobody is mad when, like, you get on board with their plan. You know, no one's going to be like, how come they voted with me?
Yes. But if they're sort of like thinking it through, it's like, this was too easy, I think, maybe should be. And then the David resistance, it doesn't correspond with, if Gabby is voting with us tonight, why is Gabby getting so upset at the tribal council?
Well, she also feels, I don't know, I don't think there is that disconnect. I think that, like, and I think especially with a group that's, like, been the minority tribe the whole season, you know, like the Davids have, you know, I think, you know, you had Alec a couple episodes saying, like, I don't think of them as strategically real players. You know, I bet that that perspective is somewhat widespread throughout the Goliaths. Okay. Like, the Davids are the pawns. Of course they're voting with us, and of course they're indignant about it.
All right, let's do a couple more questions here tonight. And this is from Kristen, wants to know, should Gabby get an Oscar or a fishy for tonight's tribal performance? Well, she didn't get a fishy.
Well, no. And I, you know, you could make the counter argument about this, too, right? That you know, it's a big target for Gabby, right? That, like, there's a chance that the Goliaths are like, why, you know, she's like, let's get rid of her. She's the one who's, you know, so, you know, excited to tip over the apple cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, while I've theorized that maybe this could be a strategy on Gabby's part, and this could be, you know, fake tears to sort of to play everybody, I don't know necessarily if it's the kind of thing that ultimately is rewarded by a jury, that, you know, she was crying, but it was to trick them. I don't know if people necessarily like that, Stephen.
I really don't think it was a performance. I really think this was, like, genuine Gabby emotional overflow. And, you know, the fact that so many people think it is strategic. You know, we saw her last episode, her tears with Allison. You know, Allison was like, the fact that you're crying makes me realize how genuine this is. You know, one of the things we always say about Survivor is that your personality is your strategy. And I think Gabby's emotional sincerity is probably a lot of what makes her a strategically strong player.
Okay, Stephen, well, can you help us with this upcoming question? This was a question that was from Twitter. Was anyone else distracted by the picture behind Stephen Fishback through the entire Instagram story? Stephen, could you explain that? It looked like that artwork that's behind you. I thought, is that Charlie Sheen looking for a contact lens?
It's not. It's this photo by the photographer Gregory Crutzen. I just love it. It's this massive photo. It's this guy. He's like on his hands and knees digging holes in his floorboards, and this mysterious light is coming up from his basement or from the ground, or we don't know what. I just love the idea of this, like, mysterious light, like, coming up at you. You're trying to get a hold of it, and you don't know where it's coming from or why it is. And to me, like, it really is representative of just inspiration and writing and, like, trying, like, the desperate work that comes with trying to, like, tap into a little bit of inspiration. The other question I get a lot
I relate to that so much, because sometimes I'm just trying to think of what to say after I say, coming to you live from my apartment. Here's the guy who, and I sit there for hours on end, Stephen, looking for inspiration.
How much do you plan for that?
More, it's embarrassing. More time than, you know, I've definitely been sitting there for, you know, 10 minutes trying to think of something, and then just like, okay, let's go with some drivel here.
Yeah, they're always so clever. So yeah. I'm glad to hear that you have to put work into it. You know,
I think you just remember the good ones and forget the lame ones.
Apparently people said I said "oh man" a lot in my Instagram stories, which I realized like as I was nearing the end, I was like, did I start every one of these
That's
with
"oh
man"? That's
your catchphrase though, isn't that?
Oh man.
Oh man.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm the George Takei with yeah.
Well, he says "oh my."
I know, it's slightly different. This is my take on it.
Oh man. Oh man.
Oh yeah. Man.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up here tonight. We've done was a really strong know-it-alls tonight. I feel like this is one of the better breakdowns of an episode I feel like we've had in quite some time.
Well, it was a great episode. It gave us a lot. Let me ask you one question before we move on. Do you think, what's your ideal David move? Now, obviously every David is different. They all have different relationships and they all have different strategic goals. But what is you as generic David, Rob, generic David Sestrinino, you're on this tribe. What's your goal? What do you think the David should have done?
Make bonds with the Goliaths.
But you were they should have tried to flip the Goliaths. You felt they should have tried to vote off a Goliath.
I mean, that would be the best case scenario, but second best scenario would be, okay, we are down in the numbers, let's sacrifice a couple of people that we're not working with super close, and then hope is not a strategy, but when you get down to 11, I mean, they were sort of over a barrel. I think that basically Gabby and Nick and Christian sort of, basically had to, put, all their chips on Alec and Mike White and Dr. Allison and hope that basically they're going to be telling them the truth.
It's hard to say. We'll see. It's interesting. I mean, now it looks, do you think a David or a Goliath is going to win it all?
I think, let's see. I'm just trying to take stock of where I feel, I would say a David. Gun to my head, I'll say a David. But Dr. Allison had a strong night tonight.
Oh wow, you're bullish on Allison.
Well, Randy on the podcast said that he felt really strong about Dr. Allison, and now she is really coming on strong here. I feel like this is confirmation bias.
Oh, interesting. So you think Randy manifested this?
He might have. Yeah. He might have. I feel like that. In terms of the other people that I feel have a lot of, win equity, I feel most of the rest of them are Davids.
What about Kara?
No.
No?
You're still much higher on Kara than I am.
I think Kara...
On Kara.
I feel she's... okay. You're way out on Kara. All right.
Yeah. We talked about this on the podcast last week. You're still super high on her.
I'm a little less high. This was not a great episode for Kara, but it was not a terrible episode for Kara.
Yeah.
What about Christian?
No, high on Christian.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Alec, great episode for Alec.
Yeah, it was a very good good episode for Alec. And I personally have not given him a ton of credit so far in this season, but I think that this was his best episode to date.
I know. Me neither. And great episode for Alec. Well, all right. Well, this was a great and a great episode for you, Rob. This was a great know-it-all.
It was a fun one. Look, for a 12-1 vote. This was a lot of meat was on the bone tonight.
Exactly. The fact that it was so down the line and then it ended up being such great TV.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up. Okay. Here we have. All right. For those of you guys who are fans of the Seinfeld recap podcast on this week's Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Steven, have you ever heard of that show?
Yes.
Yes. We spun the wheel. It came up to talk about the one episode that Akiva and I did not ever podcast about. That's up on robisawebsite.com. So go ahead and check out Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Of course, the challenge, which Steven loves so much. You can check out the rave reviews for Steven's, one of Steven's favorites. Ali Lasher was on the feedback show.
I missed that joke. I heard about it, but obviously I didn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was the shade?
Ali Lasher had said that she liked that you feigned recognition, that you knew who she was.
I know she is. That's crazy. I know Ali Lasher. We I follow her on Twitter. How much knowledge of Ali Lasher do I need before I can refer to her?
Five question quiz for you coming up. So check out what Ali and Brian had to say about the challenge, which is ongoing. News AF, me and Steven's mutual friend Tyson Apostle, Danny Bryson, talked about. Stephen, did you hear about the Delta Airlines passenger who was forced to sit in a very dirty seat this week?
No, no, that sounds disgusting.
It was not good. It was not good to talk about that much more. And then, oh, this was really great. I caught up with Kevin Schlauber. He is a Big Brother 19 contestant, for those of you guys who are Survivor only. He recently was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and Rodney Lavoy Jr., he is having a big event in Boston on November 18th. I talked with Kevin and Rodney last night, and it was a very fun conversation. We talked to, you know, obviously, Kevin is dealing with some really tough news, but he has kept his sense of humor, and there's actually some really funny stuff with Kevin and Rodney. That's up as well on robhasawebsite.com. And then, AJ Mass also this week. Stephen, there's a ton of podcasts this week. AJ Mass talked to me about the 13 archetypes as well of Survivor David versus Goliath, also up on robhasawebsite.com. And then in the future, exit interview coming tomorrow. We'll talk with Elizabeth, hear what she has to say. I have a feeling she'll be good on the exit interview.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yes. She'll be good on the exit interview. Then Kellen Bechtold. Lots of stuff to talk about here with Kellen at The Merge. Looking forward to that. If you got a question for Kellen, email us, survivor@robinswebsite.com. And then the B&B. Looks like we're going to have Jessica McKenna on the RHAP B&B coming up this week, Stephen.
Okay.
Another one of your favorites.
I'm terrified of like expressing acknowledgement of someone lest I not adequately paid my dues.
Why Blank Lost also coming up this week with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis talk about what did Elizabeth do wrong? Was it her trying to remake the bed? Was it her trying to stir things up at Tribal Council? We'll find out. And then the Mayo Jar, Nick Majorana will be here with me in the studio. Very excited to catch up with Nick. Stephen, have you ever had any interactions with Nick?
You know what? I haven't. I always wanted to meet him. I mean, he's so funny on Twitter. I mean, I really enjoyed him on the, on the Ko-Rong. I've never met him, though.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to having Nick here in the studio. And of course, the people that make this possible, they are the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information, including we posted the birthday rehapisode this week for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast to check it out. Almost 25 minutes follow me around for the birthday extravaganza put on by the wonderful First Lady of Podcasting. That and much more going on. robhasawebsite.com/patron. Steven, all right.
Wow.
Next week, we'll be back together to talk about episode number 8 of Survivor David versus Goliath. Of course, follow Steven Fishback on Twitter. He is at Steven Fishback. And of course, you can read his wonderful people.com strategy blog every single week.
Yeah, I'm a little bit late with it this week because I was doing my oh man Instagram.
Look, you got a lot going on. You're a real social media mogul.
Well, I could just imagine how good I would be if I took those classes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead. And I was watching it before we came on tonight. That was hosted by former Olympian Lolo Jones, Skillshare.com/Rob.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she had a good tip about on the Instagram. I didn't know that you could add a link to when you do an Instagram story. That I was like, I didn't even know that. Okay.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Now, Lola was on the challenge as well. So it all comes full circle.
Lolo Jones?
Yeah. She was on their Champs versus Stars edition.
Okay. Who knew? Who knew? Yeah. Okay. All right. Stephen Fishback knew, of course. All right. Stephen, great work tonight. Looking forward to another fun week of podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survivor, no way to.